Good morning, 7:47 a.m. on November the 8th, maybe, I think. Yeah, it's November the 8th. Woohoo! I know what day it is. It's Friday. Well, let's get the bad news over with first. Yesterday, if I wrote 500 words on my book, I'll probably have to remove them all and start again. Just saying. So 17:25 on the first mile. Not too bad. Not too great, but not too bad. So yeah, yesterday was meltdown day. Yesterday was exhaustion day. And it wasn't from the writing. It was from being up too late. It was from getting only a couple hours sleep a couple days ago, and then 3 or 4 hours sleep the night before, staying up until midnight to get my word count in, or trying to get my word count in, and then getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning. Too many days in a row. So yesterday was kind of a meltdown day. It was also the day that I go and visit with high school kids, so I didn't have the afternoon buffer. I just had to kind of piddle along. And so that's what I did. I just sort of piddled along. And I did get a nap. It wasn't a long nap, and I think it was actually before I went for my walk yesterday. But that nap actually did make a big difference. I still had a ridiculously difficult time focusing. That's one of the problems. If you can't focus, you can't get in the story. If you can't get in the story, you can't get in the full flow. If you can't get in the flow, then word count's slow. No flow, go slow. So yeah, it was kind of... So I just said, yeah, okay, well, fine. 6 days, 31,000 words, that's pretty good. I've got 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, to do 30,000 words, to do 20,000 words, to break 50K by Sunday, end of day, because that's my goal. So, if I can get 6 or 7 thousand words today, 6 or 7 thousand words tomorrow, that'll only leave me 6 or 7 thousand words on Sunday. So in a little while I'm going to be home, and I'm going to make myself some of my wheat toast and eat some peanut butter, get some protein going. I overslept this morning because I was up pretty late last night. Not terribly late, but the play ran until 9:30, quarter 10, and it was really quite good. I'm impressed with what they've done with the staging and the blocking and the set, and the entrances and exits are beautiful. They're really, really well done. And the blocking on the stage is really exceptional. They do a good job using the verticality of the stage to gain more space, to gain more visual dynamism. There's a raised portion of the stage where fairies hang out and observe, and Titania's barrow is there. And then there's a clearing in the forest, and then there's the town, and it's all one setting, and they use it interchangeably. So people in the town will walk into the forest, and people in the forest walk through the town, and it all works because the story is so clearly set wherever it is that the aspects of it shine through regardless of what the set might look like at any given moment. And the pieces are ambiguous enough that what is a boulder in the forest is a portico in the city, and it's all the same piece. It just takes on that different connotation because of the action on the stage, which is really, really, really quite well done. We have a girl playing Puck who, while not particularly pixie-like, is actually a rather tall and muscular woman who is Puck. And it's a very different sort of feel from other productions where Puck has been sort of light and fairy-like. And this Puck is more like one of the Lost Boys in Peter Pan. A certain sense, very Lost Boys is the wrong name, wrong one. But more, very much more henchman and very much less fairy, although she has pointed ears. The fairies themselves are an amazing collection of scary. One girl has gloves that give her claws. I mean, really long claws, like Wolverine long claws. Cobweb has bat wings and dresses in black. And I think at least half of the fairies are on stage at any one time. And most of the time you don't notice them. Most of the time you don't even see them. When the story starts, when the play begins, one of the fairies is actually sitting on the front edge of the stage. And unless you're looking for her, unless you happen to notice that she is not the same as the plaster cast that's sitting on the next plinth over, because there's a spotlight on the plaster cast, there isn't one on her. She sort of fades into the background. You just don't notice. You just don't realize. She sits perfectly, perfectly still. I never saw her twitch once. And it was 5 minutes before, into the play before I realized she was there. And what's more astonishing to me is that when the lights went down, she's dressed in white. And I saw her, you know, I saw a white shape come out of the wings, the stage wings, and climb up the side of the stage, and then sort of disappeared. So when the lights came up, I looked to see who was over there, and I didn't see anybody until a few minutes later when I realized that that's not a statue, that's the person that I saw coming out of the wings. And there's apparently one I didn't spot. There was one up above with her leg hanging over and down into the stage, and another one standing perfectly still, Cobweb actually, it turns out, standing in the shadows with her wings wrapped around her. And there's a couple of them that are hiding in a hollow tree, but that's no way to see them from until they step out of the tree, so it's understandable. But it was really quite good. The staging and blocking, the movement, the stage business, the actors interacting other than their lines was gorgeously done. It was wonderfully done. The lines, yeah, this language is tough for high school kids, I guess. it. And there are times when the rhyming couplets were just way too much like rhyming couplets, with too much emphasis placed on the rhymes and not enough on the flow. And too much, and that results in some odd sounding things where words that probably rhymed in Elizabethan time don't rhyme anymore. Won and gone. Monkpole. So yeah, there was some language issues and one of the main characters, the guy who plays Oberon, had a difficult time understanding him, in part because he played the same character, the major domo character, in last spring's production of The King and I. And as the major domo, he had a particular air about him. And he brought that same vibe. So he seemed less like a king and more like a butler, which was unfortunate. And he also has a really deep voice. It's a very rich baritone voice, and so it's an obvious choice in terms of vocal quality for Oberon. But he mumbled. His lines, the only time I actually heard his lines clearly was when he came to the front edge of the stage and stroked his beard as he was pontificating on some portion of the plot and plan that he had going. And that was a little bit too bad. And that was pretty common. Even Puck, who was probably the smoothest of all of them, even Puck had a tendency to speak too quickly, to have the words fall trippingly off her tongue, but not in a way that we could really understand them because they were going just too damn fast. Her closing speech was probably the best. She had a couple of other pieces in the middle that weren't too bad, but generally her interactions with the other characters were rushed, were hurried. And she was one of the better ones. And would I have done any better? I don't know. But I talked it over with my daughter on the way home, the student director, and she was quite put out because while it was a good production, it wasn't the great production that she had hoped to see. And so she was rather disappointed in it. And feeling rather left out as director, because of course all of the attention is on the people who are on the stage, and as sort of like, you know, welcome to tech. Welcome to backstage support. Everybody pays attention to the actors. The actors couldn't do what they do without everybody else helping. Which may ultimately be the point that Ryan is trying to make with her. But she is a good director. She really is a good director. And I don't think she really understands how the power of having a good director makes such a large difference. So, the other day I was talking about listening to Brand and then sort of having some kind of slow motion conversation back and forth, where I listen to his podcast and then answer him back. And then he listens to my answer and we have kind of a podcast conversation thing. And he seemed pretty, I talked to him on chat the other day, and he seemed pretty interested in that. So I listened to, and I don't know which one it was, it might have been the last, should have been the last one, should have been the latest one. Apparently he's got some technical glitches with his audio buffering and causing problems and distortions and cutting out and coming back, and yeah. I think the idea of, he's thinking about perhaps plugging a lapel mic into a Zoom H2, recording from that. I think that's probably going to be his best choice. Now, I use a wired headset, and I use an Android application called Voice Recorder to record mine. And It records in GPA format or something. I don't know. It's some sort of compressed note-taking format. The audio quality in terms of voice is not terribly good. It's not terrible. It's not something that I would really want to try to record a book on, for example. But it's not terrible. And for, given how much background noise, the book, the birds, the bees, the cars, wind in the trees, whatever, it works pretty well. And because it's wired, it's not invoking the overhead that a Bluetooth headset does. And I have the same problem. You can't record. I haven't found an application yet that will record from a Bluetooth headset. And I did look at some things. One of the things that is not very well known is that you can record, you can call a private line and record on Tumblr. So if you have the account set up correctly, you can dial into Tumblr on your phone and leave a voice comment on your blog that Tumblr will convert to MP3 and put the blog post up as an audio link. So it's dial up podcasting. I used it a couple of times just to try it out, and it does work very well. It's pretty clean. It does a really good job in terms of translating from whatever format it's recording in, which might actually be MP3, and then it's sort of like an answering machine. And you record, and when you hang up, it posts. So yeah, that's a possibility as well. What have we got here? Grounds crew working in the park. Looks like they're warming up a chipper shredder for the leaves. Is that what that is? That's what it looks like. Nice little barrel that they've got. Rubbermaid. That is cool. It's kind of a Rubbermaid hopper thing with two big wheels in the front. That's one of the problems with wheelbarrows, regular wheelbarrows, is that one wheel in the front makes them unstable. You get a heavy load on them, and if the load shifts, then the barrel goes over. Generally, so does the person behind it. That's a nice little rig. So I'm coming past the park. Sun is up. It's still mostly cloudy. There's a lot of really black clouds up there. I don't know what the temperature is at the moment. When I started out, it was 35. I think it's warmed up a lot. I could feel the heat of the sun on my back. Oh, what a lot of leaves. Holy crap. Yeah, I'm going to have to get out here one of these days. Wow, almost 19 minutes on the backside. I was just barely dragging along. Yeah, well, I am home. Coming up on the back gate. It's time for me to say tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.